The Lord Jesus tells us everywhere in the Gospels where he speaks about his coming, he says these things about his return. Jesus' own words regarding his coming. That means they're the most authoritative. They're not shrouded in prophetic imagery. They're straightforward, the words of the Master regarding his return. He says, be prepared. Be on the alert. Be on guard. Be ready. I will come at a time that you don't expect. And those words are a mystery to us because they will be fulfilled in a way that we don't expect. Because we're all famous for having our end time theologies just locked down. And every one of us thinks we're not going to get caught off guard. Because, well, we know what's going to happen. We know about the 7 years. We know about this and that. I am definitely going to recognize it. I don't need to worry. And everybody in the world thinks the same way. Because they've seen this or that. Something about the last days. There's so much stuff out there. So everybody has this inward feeling that they're going to recognize you coming. And they're going to get ready and get dressed and be prepared just in time. But as the Lord came the first time, in a way we didn't expect, I know he's going to come the second time also in a way that fulfills every prophecy, and yet in a way we don't expect. Like, let's just say Jesus came back this afternoon. Well, that would catch us off guard, wouldn't it? Because, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? Because we have it all locked out in our mind what should be happening first. But if he came this afternoon, that would be surprising, wouldn't it? And so that's why he says, always be prepared, be ready to meet him at all times. My job as an evangelist, and my brother Edwin's job as a pastor, is to make sure every single person, every person in this place is ready, is prepared, is waiting for him hopefully and joyfully and expectantly. That's our job. Now, what makes our job more difficult is this. That almost none of us are prepared. Almost none of us are ready to meet the Lord. If the Lord Jesus came this afternoon, most of us wouldn't be prepared. And how do I know that? Because of these two scriptures. There's two words here, both of them in Deuteronomy, that expose how unready we are to meet the Lord if he came today. And they are these two verses. I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. These two commandments, the greatest commandments, these two commandments expose our unreadiness to meet him. It's the barometer. It's the test of readiness is these two verses. Now, how come we're not ready according to these verses? Because except in a couple of rare instances, we have almost nothing except false gods before him. And we love everything more than him. It's not saying we don't love God. If we didn't love God, we wouldn't be here this morning. So it's not that we don't love God. Our problem is that we love everything else as well. We love so many other things, and those other things take priority in our lives. So we come and we say we love God, and that's probably true. But our life betrays our heart. What we do all during the week betrays where our real affections lie. And so, we pursue all the same things as the world. During the week, it'd be very difficult. God would be very hard-pressed to distinguish us during the week because our pastimes and our pursuits and our goals are the same, identical, as those who have no love for Christ. My brother, these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. We should be so odd. We should be so different that the world should not even be able to comprehend us. Our motivations, the things that we seek after, our desires and our goals should be so radically different from those who don't love Christ that we should be a mystery to them. We should be unfathomable to them because we should have goals and pursuits that are absolutely in the next world. So now, our job, as we come to Christ and as we live in Christ, this is our job, each one of us, is that Christ would become preeminent in our life. I use that word because I was a Presbyterian minister at one time. Presbyterians always use preeminent. That we would learn to love God more than the things of this world. That is the life work of every person who is here. Now, what does that mean in the flesh? What does that mean? Well, think of it like this. What are the things that we trade Jesus for? Okay? Let's say we can spend time in the presence of the Master, enjoying His company, or we can be doing anything else in the world. Which one will we choose? Think about that. We will choose anything and everything over our God. We will turn away from our God for the most mind-numbing, spirit-deadening, brain-deadening entertainment. We don't have time to seek the Lord, yet we'll spend 4 hours at a time on the internet. We will trade Him for anything. Now here's the test of our relationship with God. When is the last time you spent time with Jesus because you missed being with Him? Because you missed being with Him. This is the test of the liveliness of our relationship with God. Because God would have it that He is so preeminent in our life that whenever we have a free moment, we're always going to seek Him. We can't wait to be with Him when we have a break at work. We can't wait to spend time with Him at night when we get home from school and home from work. We run to Him because there's nothing like being in His presence. So our job is to subjugate all these other things so that Christ might be elevated in our lives, that we might learn to love Him more than this world. Remember 1 John chapter 2. If we love the world and the things in the world, then the love of the Father isn't in us. And the world is passing away and all of its lusts with it. But those who do the will of the Father will abide forever. And our job now, especially now, because the Lord's return is imminent. It's imminent. The Lord really actually is coming. The shout is going out. Get ready. The bridegroom is coming. And so now is the time for us to seek the Lord earnestly and to put aside our distractions. My beloved brethren, we don't lose out on God because we're involved with gross sin. I bet there's very few murderers in here. But we are distracted from the kingdom of God by our pastimes. We are distracted from God to death. We're distracted. And did you know that the devil doesn't care if he uses drugs or alcohol or the TV and the computer? He doesn't care. Anything that keeps us separated from God, spending that time in Christ, is just as good to him. And so in New York City, he uses the prolific drugs and alcohol. Probably here too, a wonder word. But in the church, he doesn't use that. He just uses our ordinary distractions to lull us into sleep. Today is the day to become part of the five virgins who became awakened, who got up, got dressed, had their oil, ready to meet the Lord. This is the day for us to be very, very urgent in our preparation for him. Because you can't do it all at once. You can't do it in a day. Having oil in our lamp begins today, and if we work earnestly, we will have enough when he comes. That means our oil is spending time with God, is spending time in the presence of God, spending time in his word, turning off the things of this world to spend time with God. Think about the Father's heart. You want to bless God? Here's how to do it. Turn away from something you like to spend that time with him instead. Now, I don't know if God faints. He probably doesn't, but if he could, you want to know how you can do that? You can make God faint. You men, if you turned off the game on Sunday afternoon and spent that time in the Word and instructing your family, God would probably faint. He would be so overjoyed that someone loves him more than sports that they're willing to turn it off. It's not that you have to be done with sports and never have them again. No, but Isaiah 58 says, call the Sabbath a delight most holy to the Lord, ceasing from our own ways and our own words, calling it a delight. If we ever obeyed that and actually turned off something we wanted to see in order to spend time with God, the Father would pour blessing upon you. Pour blessing on you. Because those who will turn away from their own pursuits to pursue him are so few that when he finds one, he will pour out blessing. And we're here today to challenge everyone in this body, everyone, to start seeking the Lord very earnestly, to start spending an hour a day with God, setting aside the distractions of this world, and spending time with God. When you do that, God will start to become preeminent, because the more you spend time in the presence of God, the easier it is to let go of the world. I was like immersed. I mean, I was in the drug culture. I was one of the original top 10 hippies. I couldn't let go of that stuff until I met Jesus and I started drinking from the well of life. And the water of life was so delicious that I didn't need the putrid water of the world anymore. So that's our key. And anyone can do it. So all of us who are struggling with the distractions of this world, all we have to do is make the step to start seeking the Lord. And these things will begin to drop off of us. It's the secret. It's the key to victory, is spending time in the presence of God. So I'm going to challenge you today, before we go now, to raise your hand and say, I want to try to do that. I don't know if I can, but I want to. I want to be dressed. I want to be waiting. I want to be part of the five who are elect. Raise them up. Let God see you. And thank God for you guys. This is the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful adventure. Let's all stand up and sing a song together, and then we'll pray.